All right, hello. So today we're going to be talking about speech and debate, a long-term club at FHN. We're going to talk about the changes to it this year, how it's all virtual, and pros, cons, and all that. So we got our president, Emma Rohrbach,
Hi.
and we got an officer, Luke Kaufman.
Hello.
Right, so first things first, what were the major changes to debate like? For this year compared to last year, since it's all virtual now.
Well, obviously the largest change is the fact that we can't see each other and we can't go to actual in-person tournaments. So we have to do everything through Zoom or other online applications in order to have meetings and do our actual debates.
So for the people that don't know, what did debate tournaments look like last year or years past?
Typically, debate tournaments are everybody drives to the school that's hosting the tournament, and then once we're all there, it runs like a normal tournament. So everybody goes to the rounds or whatever competitions that they're competing in, and then it's all held within that school. But since we have COVID this year, everything's done, like Emma said, through Zoom or the Speech and Debate Association has their own like proprietary streaming software, which is called SpeechWire, that they use sometimes as well.
I think one of the biggest things about debate is the time commitment. A full two-day long tournament in the middle of the weekend is not something everyone is most ambitious about at the beginning of the year. So then this year, explain a little bit about how it's working for tournaments online.
Yeah, so similar setup on, so last year for normal in-person tournaments, the hub of the tournaments for students is the cafeteria. So your team sets up there, and in between your rounds that are in classrooms, you go back to the cafeteria. And so you spend like, 8, 12 hours in a cafeteria at a random school every weekend. This year, since it's all during Zoom, you go to your round in whatever online platform the host school happens to be using. You do your rounds, it's fun, hopefully you win. And then you go back to a team Zoom. But instead of obviously being in a cafeteria, you're just in your room, or I'm in my basement, usually somewhere in your house.
So Emma, since you do PUF, where you really have to like communicate with your partner throughout the debate, how has that become more of a challenge this year since you're not really next to them? You can't really talk.
Yeah, it's definitely challenging. One thing is like usually, we can talk, we can like whisper to each other during rounds, we might write each other notes. I can like nudge my partner Will on the shoulder if he says something I don't like, or if I want him to say something in his speech, et cetera. And so this year, since we can't do that, we kind of alternate between texting and being on FaceTime in rounds, which has its fair set of challenges. Things like FaceTime, if we forget to mute fast enough and one of us unmutes on the thing, we've had some run-ins with that. At one point, Will unmuted before I had remuted on the Zoom and started like talking bad about our opponents. And so they heard the beginning of that. And so it can get a little bit challenging, but it comes with the territory.
Well, that's not an experience we all have. So, Luke, we both do LD, so that's 1v1 debates. So, do you think there are any major changes to that because we're going virtual?
Yeah, I think like the biggest issue that's been coming up for me, which also happens in PUF and policy as well, the total three debate formats, is that on cross-examination or on questioning, which is where you're asking your opponents questions about what they're saying and you're challenging them on the arguments that they're making, it's really hard to control them in like the aspect that they can keep talking the entire time and ramble way past what the original question was and just eat up your entire time because you can't really cut into them when they're in the middle of talking like that. Normally you can do that when it's live because you can like overpower them by speaking, but with how Zoom's set up and how like SpeechWire's set up, whoever's talking first gets priority for the audio signal that gets sent out. So when you're talking at the same time that they're talking, it just kind of cancels out, or your voice doesn't even get registered. So like they can just completely wipe the floor with you, which gets really annoying.
Yeah, I think even with like audio issues and stuff, like people who don't have well mics, like if they're just speaking with a laptop mic and it's not very good, sometimes you can miss a lot throughout their speech, especially if they're reading really fast. And then that just makes you have more of your cross time. You just have to like ask them clarification questions. It kind of just gets annoying. You spend more time than usual.
Yeah, and during crosswalk too, like even if you know you get a chance to ask a question, there's such a lag sometimes that they'll like ask a question, and for the judge, it'll be like 20 seconds later that you finally get to answer, and then people end up going over each other, and yeah, it's really fun.
How's it been working for a Grand Cross though, Emma, since in PUF?
So Grand Cross is when, so PUF, each team is made up of two people, and Grand Cross happens when all four competitors can ask questions to everyone in the room at once. So there's four people talking. So far, it hasn't been too bad, but yeah, like you guys are talking about, there's definitely like sometimes your audio gets overridden, there's a lag, sometimes people's mics just don't work, so they'll answer your question, but it'll just be like super choppy, etc. Yeah, it's okay. It hasn't been as bad as I anticipated it would be for Crossfire.
So then let's move on to a little bit more like the speech aspect of speech and debate. So this year we're all doing a little bit of extemp, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know you two haven't had like much experience of it in the past, mostly Congress weirdos here. But so like what parts of extemp do you like about it being virtual?
You want to go first, Emma?
Yeah, I'll go first. I really enjoy that I don't actually have to like be in a room alone with the judge, because in normal extemp, you like prep your topic, you prep your speech, and then you just have to go in a room with the judge. And that seems really, really awkward to me. Like, I wouldn't want to just be like, oh, hey, like, you know, how are you? And, you know, make like that awkward small talk if we were the only ones there. So I like that I can just like record my speech now, send it in to be judged, and then I'm kind of done. But it obviously has its pros and cons, because then I can't like see the judge's face either, or see how they're reacting and course correct mid-speech.
Yeah, I think like, or you want to go, Pavan, or you want me to go?
Go for it.
I think for me, when it comes to extemp, right, since how you mentioned how Emma and I typically do Congress, it's a lot different. And the plus that we don't have to write out the speeches before the tournaments, because usually that takes a long time because it's a big docket. So like for Congress, you're modeling what an actual Congress would be, so we have bills and legislations, and typically what you do is you write speeches, or at the very least you research on the individual pieces of legislation so that you get a base idea of what you're going to be talking about. But what's nice about extemp is that you don't have to do that, but that's also on the negative side, because you don't have as much prep time. And I've never had to do extemp live. The closest I got to doing it was at districts last year, which got canceled. But I think, like Emma was saying, having that awkward like one-on-one instance with a judge live would be really weird and not fun. But I think, like she said, it's really annoying not be able to read the judge's expressions, because that's how you really understand whether or not what you're saying is landing, or if you might need to change up how you're presenting the information midway through.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know, I've been extemp for the past 2 years live, and I had a blast. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I think, like, being able to read the judge's expression is something that helps me, because if I have a judge that's Indian, then I'm going to make Indian jokes, so they kind of relate to me a little bit more. If I have a judge that's a little bit older, I'll make like references that I know that are a little bit older, so they like relate a little bit more. And I tend to go with like, I had a lot of COVID examples, so I go with like the sappy side, you know, to get an emotional connection. It doesn't always work the best, but like it's a little bit harder to do that through the camera. I just feel like awkward speaking to a wall and being like, oh yep, that's what people are gonna see. I feel the same way.
Something like really important that you remind me of, since we're online, we can't see the judge's expressions, which you typically forget how important that is. Because sometimes, especially since we're in a more Republican state, and we have more democratic style questions that we have to answer, you can really alienate yourself against the judge depending on who they are, what their facial expressions are. So that really plays into it. So whether or not the judge is a lay judge, meaning that they're a parent who doesn't typically judge debate rounds, or if they're a coach, somebody who's well diverse in how a debate works or speech works, that really plays into how you frame up what you're going to be talking about, because it's, you really have to tailor it to who you're going to be talking to. But since we don't know until we've given the speech, it really changes the dynamic.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed too, is because like sometimes we don't even really get to see who's judging us. And I think something that I think a lot about in both debate and in like Congress or Senate is like the, just like the identity of who the judge is. So whether, you know, if they look like, you know, like a mom, then they, I can assume they probably have like a certain set of ideals that are different from like a 6-year-old man or like an immigrant, et cetera. And I can kind of tailor what I'm saying and how I'm saying it to how I think they'll best receive it. And so not being able to do that is definitely, definitely scary. Because yeah, I don't know how they're going to take what I'm saying.
I definitely use that in debate too. Because like if I knew the judge was a coach, or I saw them with a flow pad and pen ready to go, then I'm like, okay, this person knows what they're doing. So if I speak a little bit faster, they'll get me. But if I realize that it was a parent who kind of gave off the vibe that like, I don't want to be here, but I think I need to be here, then I'm like, okay, I'll try to slow it down a little bit, make it something that they can understand. And like, I'll put some stuff in like layman's terms, because some of the things we talk about isn't really something most people know about. Like sometimes it's like stuff I never knew about before I started researching the topic. So I think that's something that like played into my debate skills as well. So you guys did do a few Congress tournaments earlier this year. How did that change going virtual compared to in person?
I think for Congress, it really wasn't that bad, relatively speaking. It went pretty smoothly for being the first online tournament, speech tournament, or just debate tournament in general that we had. Within SpeechWire, Speech and Debate's proprietary streaming service, the most used features that I've seen is the raise your hand feature for like if you want to have a question. So if you're going to be asking somebody a question about the speech that they just gave on the legislation, you would be use the raise your hand feature, where normally you just stand up whenever you needed to give a question. So that's a pretty easy transfer, and it hasn't really been too bad. In some aspects, it's actually been better because it's easier to follow along what's happening within the room, because sometimes you zone out for a little bit too long in an actual session live and you're like, hold on, what just happened? You forget what's going on around you, but I feel like it's a little more streamlined on online. I don't know about you, Emma, though.
Yeah, I like online Congress way better, personally. I think there's a lot of things about in-person Congress that I think are, in a lot of ways, a little bit inequitable, if you consider that, because Congress is a very much like male-dominated event within speech and debate, and the people who run the Congress rooms, they're called POs, are almost always male and almost always have their favorites from school. So even if you're standing up for questions or standing up for speeches, it's like you're a lot more likely to be passed over. And a lot of the opportunities that you get in Congress come from networking, but a lot of that is kind of like a boys club networking. So having it online, at least as like a girl in debate, has been a lot better for me, because there hasn't been that same sort of like male exclusivity happening.
Yeah, I never really thought about it that way, but I guess I only did Congress. So now, like, moving on to like the experience of debate itself, right? Through being in meetings twice a week and tournaments for a full weekend, like the past few years, I feel like all the members of debate have gotten very close. Like, we are all like a pretty tight-knit friend group. So how do you think that whole like experience, and I guess like camaraderie, changed through it being virtual?
I think it's definitely a lot harder this year. I think for people who are like varsity members that we've been in it for a while, you know, it's still more or less the same for us, because we already know each other and we already have that background and like we want to talk to each other on Zoom, etc. But I think it's a lot harder for novices to get kind of like brought into the fold, because aside from just spending, 48 hours straight with each other, essentially, at a random school in a cafeteria, we also would do things like have team dinner or go out, like, after practices to, go get food, et cetera. And so I think all of those experiences not being there definitely makes it harder to connect as a team.
Yeah, since we're not having all those, because you have the main debate aspects being like the practices and then the tournaments, and then one of the more crucial aspects, like Emma was saying, having those team dinners and like going out for food is really where you start to bond, because you're not on the spot to do work at that point. You're there to get to know everybody else on the team, and I think that really plays into the freshmen's experience this year, because they're not really getting that as much. But I don't know, from my freshman year, I wasn't really as concerned with the bonding as much freshman year. It's more of trying to figure out what's going on. But I think for the sophomores, that's when the real bonding starts to happen, where you start to really get closer to everyone and then it starts getting a lot more tight-knit.
Yeah, I think it's like, I honestly miss team dinners a lot, an excuse to like pretty much just hang out with your friends after a stressful 2 days. It's nice. Mm-hmm. But like, I think it's already hard enough for freshmen to get a grasp of tournaments and how the whole debate system works when you're in person. So I know it took me probably like 2 tournaments to kind of just like figure out what was going on, to get in the hang of things and like, okay, at this time I do this, at this time I do that. And I like understood it pretty equally. It's a lot harder to do that virtually, I think, where you really don't, you don't get people able to tell you. You have to like text them to wait for a response. And like, it's just harder to grasp stuff, which is like, I kind of feel bad for the freshmen right now because they don't really get the experience we did.
Yeah, I'm hoping that like you were saying, Luke, I think most of us, we like really got into like the bonding aspect of debate our sophomore year. So hopefully they can still do that next year, and hopefully like they'll be able to have an in-person experience again and have kind of like what I consider to be the best part of debate. I feel like a lot of people don't stay in debate because they just like to argue or just like to do a lot of work and give up their weekend. Like they stay in debate because they like the people and it doesn't feel like work if you're having fun with the people you're around.
Yeah, there's something unifying about going through a lot of harsh tournaments and stress together. It's like the fastest way to bring you closer to people by going through some extreme environments and circumstances and then just spending a lot of time with them. That's really what bringing people close together in our instance.
So then with the whole debate experience of like, you know, like we kept saying, spending 2 full days together, are there any benefits of it being online that you guys have experienced so far?
One thing that I've noticed is I actually get to eat during debate tournaments now. At normal debate tournaments, you basically get 1 piece of very cold pizza on Friday, and hopefully you can get a donut on Saturday, and that's it for the whole night on Friday and the whole night on Saturday. I'm always like super hungry and spend all of Sunday just like eating food, trying to make up that caloric loss. So it's nice now that since it's online, I can just like go to my fridge and grab some food whenever I feel like it.
Yeah, I think it's also nicer because you can decompress quicker, like coming right out of a speech and debate tournament, or particularly the mornings after Friday. Friday into Saturday mornings are brutal because everybody's wiped from Friday night. I think it's a little bit better now since on Zoom, since you don't have to worry about traveling back and forth, which usually takes a significant amount of time, and then getting the logistics of who's driving, who's going where, what are we doing, because that usually takes a bunch of time. Directions.
Yeah, the leisure part of it is nice. But I think we also have like team Zooms in the middle of debate rounds, and usually we spend most of our time there. But if we need like get a glass of water, go get some food, we have time to do that. And I think on Saturday too, if I don't break in debate, I can wake up at like 8 a.m., 9 a.m. But real tournaments, I got to wake up at 7 no matter what. So it's like not the ideal situation.
And when we were in person, it was like 6.
Yeah.
Like
after getting home at 11 p.m. the night before.
Yeah.
And then staying out till like midnight again, or even 1 a.m. the night on Saturday.
Yeah, it's kind of like you lose some of the experiences, but you lose some experiences you don't like. A little bit of both.
It might be easier though, since now we're online, they're learning the idea of debate. So for like the freshmen, they're learning the idea of debate instead of having to go through like the whole hardship aspect of it, the hard aspect of being in the tournaments and going through that grunge. This might be a little bit easier for them to transition, but I think they'll still lose out on the experiences, but hopefully it all picks up sophomore year. And that's where it really starts to send it off.
But the way I see it is more like you learn about debate through the hardship a little bit. Like when you go in person and you go to like three rounds back to back and you just keep going against people, that helps you learn a little bit more. Because I feel like whenever they go into sophomore year, being a post novice is already hard enough because you're going against a bunch of varsities. But especially like if you don't understand debate as much as you could have in person, cause especially because we're not having as many practices as usual. So, like, if you don't go in with that amount, I feel like that's going to make post-nov year a lot harder. At least that's just my personal thought.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it that way, but I could definitely see that. Like, I think, I don't know, this depends on the person, but for me, it's, like, a lot less embarrassing if you make mistakes online because usually you can't really see your competitors, and, like, they're not people, you know, they're just, like, a screen. And I know for me, like, the reason that I got good at debate and was able to, like, advance in debate is because I just, like, constantly made a fool of myself and, like, felt embarrassed and then was like, okay, well, I know I can deal with that, so, like, whatever, I'll just move on. And so that could definitely be something that happens next year for them is, like, that in-person embarrassment isn't happening this year. It'll be happening next year, which could be hard.
Yeah, I remember my freshman year when the first time I was doing debate, my heart wouldn't stop pounding when I was trying to speak. It felt I just couldn't calm down. So talking to like a computer screen is a lot easier than it is talking to somebody in real life. And especially the aspect of standing up while you're doing it changes the whole dynamic. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, they're going to lose out on that this year and then they'll have to deal with it next year.
Cause I feel like,
especially in like
going up to like post-nov year, right? I think we can all agree that there's a little bit of a skill bump that you have to go over to kind of keep up a little bit. And when you have to go over that bump, along with getting all of these like experiences you're not used to, and you have to like go through a few things that you're not acquired to, I feel like that just makes it a little bit harder. And if you guys have anything else to add about debate at all?
Well, if you're interested in speech and debate, you have the perfect opportunity to learn about speech and debate right now, since you don't have to travel or do anything. So if you're interested, just try and contact anyone on the debate team, MRI, or even Pavan, just to get in contact with us if you're curious.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good time to do like a little entry, do a little preview of debate, come to a few meetings, watch a couple finals rounds if you can, or even do, you know, just a couple rounds on your Friday night of debate.
Yeah, I think since it's virtual, it's easier to like dip your toes and leave rather than if you do it in person, it's kind of hard to leave if you want to leave.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our coach will hunt you down if you're
interested. You might still do that online.
It's easy to go, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I hope we'll get a few new members next year. We got a few good members this year too.
Yeah, we did.
That juniors, Pavan, you're up. You're up.
Next debate, Prez.
Oh, okay, calm down.
Gotta wait for the recruitment.
We'll be back for judging purposes, but you gotta help recruit.
Don't give us policy.
Yeah, please. Only Chris gets policy or Colin.
Never. We'll let that legacy go down with Memphis. All right. And if that's it, then thank you guys for coming and doing the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Pavan.